I received a little note to welcome again properly. The last time the names were a little mixed up. So I say very warm welcome to Mr. and Mrs. James Lien. Is that correct now? Kindly do stand so that we may properly make amends. Very welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Lien and family. Are you from Singapore? Welcome. Thank you. You may be seated. We are so happy to see you. And before you leave here, make sure I shake your hand before you go. Now we have a special welcome for Brother Joey Xiao here, right in the front. I have to welcome him on your behalf because he has been approving our excess baggage on SIA in many, many flights. So all those who need excess baggage because you are carrying God's word and literature, thank you, Joey. And he's back from SIA London. And I hope he's back for good. So that's the announcement. One or two other comments before we go into the morning's text. When I was in Perth, not Melbourne, on Tuesday, having fellowship with Brother Lincoln in the afternoon about 4 o'clock, got a telephone call, and on the end of the line was your pastor, Quick. He says, I have good news for you. The Supreme Court has awarded the Bible College the case, and there is no need for the college to be evicted as demanded by certain people. I say, praise the Lord, wonderful. So this is the news, it's in your weekly. Those of you who have the weekly, I refer you to it. It's in the beige paper, here it is. And I just read to you because this is something which we prayed for and we prayed rather feebly. I think my late brother's faith is rewarded because many times in the distress, I said to him, let's move. Let's not stay on here when we are not welcome in Gilstead Road. And he says, move to where? This is the home God has given us. And where to move to, I don't know. So he says, let's pray, and we pray. And God has answered prayer. So there is no eviction, for the three judges have found that all the conditions point to the justice of the Bible College remaining where it is. And number two, the advice given to the two parties is to arrive at a new agreement. One that is, I would say, God-honoring and equitable, fair and just in the sight of God, and to be submitted to the three Supreme Court judges in 2 weeks. May I request that we all pray for it. Pray that there will be an equitable, that is a just settlement, so that both church and college may strive together and not against one another. Strive together for the faith of the gospel, for this is, I would say, a landmark case in Singapore history. Never before. This is the first time such a thing has happened. And the conclusion, I would say, is honoring to God. So will you please remember this in prayer? By the way, this Tuesday, I found myself as the chairman for the prayer meeting. And those of you who have never been to a prayer meeting before, come. It happens also to be the first anniversary of my wife's passing, so It will be a memorial time for her. So Tuesday is 1st, 2nd, 3rd of May, I believe. So all are welcome. Now let us turn to the Word of God. In the passage we had just read, we have been going through this wonderful 2 Corinthian epistle by the pens of Paul. And you know, as I have been preparing, thank God we have an all-wise God who gives us in this one book, the Bible. And we here use King James Bible because it is the best Protestant Bible available, please understand. And even, I believe, our High Court, Supreme Court judges have been impressed by our stand on the Word of God. In this is given to us God's plan of salvation. No other book, this book. And in the verse we have read, we are told that there is going to be a time of rewards. Amazing. What a wonderful God. Not only He saves us from everlasting hell and punishment, but then He gives instructions on how we should work to merit rewards. It says here, a time of testing will come when all of us, without exception, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the title, by the way, of today's sermon is the Bema, seat of Bema of Christ. This is an old Greek word meaning the judgment seat. In the old time, it was just a raised platform in a public area where the speaker would stand and address the crowds that gathered. In the primitive time, without loudspeakers and hi-fis and so on, they need a platform. Now that platform is called the Bema. Now the judgment seat of Christ is called the Bema. And this is the place where we all must gather one day as the redeemed of God. What for? Most of us are past our examination years, but I see there are still some young people. And you understand when I say examination, all of your ears will prick up and you say, yeah, better study. Because without exam, we never know how good or how bad we are. So there is an examination coming. Dear friends, this is the Bema of Christ. And God opens our eyes and our ears to this wonderful event. All of us must appear before. Please look at this verse now. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Isn't that wonderful? That our God is interested in our performance. How are you performing? In the verse before this, previous to this, look at verse 8. Here the Apostle Paul expresses a desire which some of us here may also feel in like mood. A desire. To do what? Verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. Absent from the body means goodbye to my body, means you depart this earth. The soul departing from the body becomes a piece of dead meat only. So this is the feeling expressed by Paul. Please understand that Paul was no ordinary person. a chosen of God, and apostle. But he faced immense opposition and went through unspeakable problems and troubles and tribulations that none of us have tasted even 1% of what he went through. So can you wonder that sometimes he feels like this? He says, I'm confident, willing rather to be absent, to say goodbye to my earthly body and go to my heavenly home, to my heavenly Father right away. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Have you ever felt that way? No doubt those who are in the Spirit and serving the Lord and suffering for the Lord somehow, this is an expression of your wish, you know, a desire. This verse also tells us when a believer passes away, absent from this body, instantly is present with the Lord. Please understand. There is no halfway house where you go somewhere halfway and there you go through a certain purification process and then finally, one day, you are supposed to then arrive in heaven. My dear friends, please, God's word is infallible, inerrant, inspired here. So, the word of verse 8, do you get it, please? Those of us who have been reading and reading. Paul says, and some of us will say, sometimes I say, sometimes you say, we are willing rather to be absent from the body, to leave this earthly body behind and let the rest look after that body in a funeral. But I want to go. This is what it means. To be present with the Lord. Wherefore, nevertheless, we labor. It is not our choice. When we go, we don't have that choice. It is God's will we are here. For a purpose. What is the purpose after God saved you? Why does he not save you? And like the thief on the cross says, today you will be with me in paradise and go off. No. God has a purpose. He has work undone, waiting to be done. His soul's unsaved, waiting to be saved. And he wants us to be conscious and to go forth as his ambassadors. You know what is an ambassador? Messenger representing the country and to represent the country's goodness, to tell others how good is the kingdom of God and how unworthy is this world that we live in. Why do people slave and slog for this present earth? This is what is given to us who know the King. Who know the way, go and tell. So, now, verse 10. This is the key verse for today. And we have recited it 5 times just now. I pray that something of it will rub off on you. If you are truly in love with the Word of God, go home and memorize it. For we must, we say together one more, shall we? Everyone. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Notice that this verse says, we must all appear. There is no exception. Some will appear with nothing to their record. Some will appear with bad record. And some will appear with good record. Which class do you belong to? I turn you to a second passage of Scripture. In the same epistle of Paul, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here it explains in greater detail of the judgment seat of Christ, which you and I must appear on that day. There's no exception. So you might as well know what is going to happen and what is expected of you. If you are a Christian, if you have benefited from the dying of Jesus, shedding of His blood for you, to take away your debt of sin, and to admit you into the everlasting kingdom, there is work for us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, speaks of you and me, not anyone else, please understand. Only those who are saved. You are a Christian, you have received Jesus Christ, this speaks to you. Verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Amazing honor that God deigns to call you laborer together with God. How about supposing you receive an invitation? The incoming prime minister says, I'd like you to be in my team, to serve together. Wow, you probably can't sleep for two nights. It's so amazing that such a great person, and here is God, says, you are my laborer together on this earth. Remember what our Lord Jesus said when He left for heaven? Remember, go ye into all the world. Who are ye? Who are they? You and me. The disciples then, the disciples now, are addressed by the Lord, says, go ye into all the world. I am going to heaven. My work is done. My work of laying down my life, shedding blood for you, opened the way for you to heaven, and now to make you my servants. What honor. There is work to be done. Jesus up above has His completed work, but He is doing other work. Do you know what Jesus is doing in heaven? Do you know? Two things, just two things. Number one, He is praying for us. He maketh intercession for us up in heaven, praying for us that we will be kept by the power of the Spirit, faithful, zealous, productive, not barren, not lazy and doing nothing, because there is going to be a Bema, judgment seat. We all must appear there. So here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, speaks to you. Understand, please? It says, we are. Are you a believer? You are included here. Laborer together with God. We are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. What is the foundation? You see, it's like building a house. You understand, to build a house, it need not be a builder, but you see people build. What do they build first? They don't build the roof first, you know. They build the foundation first. Lay down a strong foundation, and there's only one foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. You come through Jesus Christ, you receive Him as your Savior, make Him your master, your model, and then He is your foundation. On this, now build. How are you building? Verse 10. He is the foundation and another builder. But let every man take heed how he builds. So I ask you the question again. Coming to church this morning and showing your face is good. But please don't make it just a courtesy call. Yeah, you know what is a courtesy call? I got to come. And you say, I come early, I also come early. Quite good. That is courtesy call. But let's come with heart and soul, mind and strength, here to renew our love and to renew our zeal and to understand what God's Word tells us to do before we all stand before that throne of judgment. The Bema of Christ is for you and for me. Verse 11, how are you building? For other foundation can no man lay than this laid, which is Jesus Christ. Oh yes, only He paid for our salvation. Only He paid with His own life, that we may have His life, that we may have our sins forgiven, and the sins that cause us to be forfeited of our life, forgiven, taken away. Only He did it. He is the foundation. And having found that foundation, build on it, please. On the day of judgment, it will be shown what you have built, how you have built, whether you build with good material or bad material is coming. Now, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, there are two classes of building material here. First class is the good class. Non-combustible, non-perishable. Never perish. What is it? Gold, silver, precious stones. Right. What are you building with? Do you give God your best that He has enabled you by His Holy Spirit? And your utmost from your understanding of God's will, give Him the best time you have, the best of your resources. Or do you come and give small change to God, and after all, nobody knows what you give. After all, nobody knows how you spend your time. In your spare time, do you use all your available time, the prime time, the best time, when you are most awake and most alert, say, I will go and do God's work. I will spend and be spent, ready to go for the sake of the Lord. I will go to my own family, to my friends, to tell them. There are so many here who are apparently in the secret service. They never let anyone know they are Christian. They pretend they are not Christians. Because it's very embarrassed to know. To let people know I'm a Christian, no good. Dear friends, you are sowing in, building in what? Wood, hay and stubble. But let us concentrate on verse 12. Gold, silver, precious stones is giving the Lord your best. Knowing that whatever you build will appear in the heavenly place at the Bema seat of Christ. And there those things will endure. Gold, silver, precious stones. How do you build, dear friends? Don't say, I don't care. I'm saved, saved, saved. I'm always saved. True? True. You will arrive in heaven with nothing to show. At the Bema of Christ, it is like a fire. And this fire is impartial. It doesn't have any favoritism. Favorites come, don't need fire. And you got nothing, you also go through. No. Through the fire, we all have to go, and then whatever you built, whether you've given the Lord your best, gold, silver, precious stones, or what? Wood, hay, stubble, all the perishable things, they all will be burned into nothing, into ashes and into flames. What do you have, dear friends? We all want to be saved, don't we? Of course, we are saved. All right. We say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, we are saved. Now, waiting for what? I said, the next phase is, we must all appear before the judgment seat and to give an account of what we have done with our lives. How you live, how you witness, how you show yourself to be a Christian, not show off, you know, show. Let people know. Go out of your way to show Christian love one for another. I say, for example, in this case of the Bible College versus Life Church, how will the judges assess? Now we are going to reply in 2 weeks' time with another kind of agreement or settlement. I say it is my feeling and my advice to whoever will hear, let this agreement or settlement be God-honoring. Show Christian love. Remember what our Lord said the last night He was with the disciples, the last time. By this one thing shall all men know you are my disciples. Now the judges in the high court, they do not know Jesus Christ as we know. They know Him as a historic figure. Now when they read the forthcoming agreement redrawn, the one which was drawn in 1970, I happen to be the chairman, 1970, full of lovely words that we shall always be in harmony, church and college, etc., etc. Now that thing has crumbled into bits. Now, what shall we present to the High Court, the Supreme Court? I say, will it be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble? Unless we show the true love of God and come to an amicable and a just settlement, it will go up there and the judges will say, what kind of settlement, what kind of agreement is that? Useless. Another piece of wood, hay, stubble. Here it is, dear friends, not by what we say, but what we do. Now let's read on. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So your work will be submitted to the fire. As I said a moment ago, God's fire is impartial. Everything goes through that fire. That fire does not spare anything that is combustible. Anything that can catch fire and burn out will be burnt into ashes. Only those that are of permanent, non-combustible, gold, silver, precious stones will come through the fire. Question, in that great test to come, which you have to go through and I have to go through, how will your works fare in that fire, that testing of fire? It's up to you to answer. I can't answer for you. How you spend your time, how you treat one another. Is there genuine love of Christ behind what you do? Or is it a showcase? Only show without substance. Verse 14. Now, it says here, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. It is my prayer as your friend and pastor to wish you 100% success, everyone here. Let none who sits here go back and plan to build rubbish. No, not worth it. Let us all plan to build gold, silver, precious stones for the Lord. After all, He's given Himself for me, spared nothing for me. God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. His own Son, the only begotten Son, came on the earth to open this way and to save us. What is it that you now feel you should do for Him? This is the question. Now, cheer up. It says here, you will never lose your salvation, dear friends. even if you have not built anything worthy, even if you have done nothing for Christ, you will still be saved like the wretched second thief on the cross. Do you remember him? Two thieves. And the first one scolded Jesus. And the second one says, "You, first thief, we are thieves. We deserve it, but this man has done no wrong." Then what did he say? "Lord Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." You know what Paul says? If thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just two things. On the cross, the dying second thief said, "Lord," he recognized Jesus as the Lord, "remember me," meaning to say, "You will die, but I know you will live again. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Everyone who hangs on the cross will die that day. If they don't die immediately, the soldiers come and break the legs. Why do you break the legs? So that they cannot breathe. When you cannot breathe, you will die within a matter of minutes, understand? And they say, why break the legs? Because on the cross, without the legs supporting you, you cannot breathe. Every breath means like this. Yep, the legs got to support you while you take a breath, because you're hanging on two hands, you know. And so, what did the second thief say? "Lord, remember me." How can a dead man remember? "I know, Lord, you are God's Son, and you will live again. You are the Master of life. You're the God of life. When you come into your kingdom," in those words, the thief has expressed, he confessed Jesus as Lord, and he believed that God will raise him from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10. How to be saved? The thief was saved. Now, what has he got to show? Nothing. All that he has is, he escapes into heaven, as you may say, by the skin of his teeth. At the very last moment before he died, he confessed Jesus and he was saved. How do we know he is saved? Can you tell me? Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, today you are saying, when I come into my kingdom." No. Today, in a few moments you will die, in a few moments I will die. But Jesus is the Lord of life. So he says, today. So don't be like the thief on the cross. Say, "I don't mind la. As long as I'm safe, I'm all right." I said, don't be so cheapskate. God saves you to be someone for him, to do something for him worthwhile, that when you arrive in heaven, you can say, "Because I went, so and so and so and so and so and so are now in heaven because I cared to go." Is there anyone here who can say that? Or nobody? Dear friends, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and be my messengers, be my servants, and tell the world there is a Savior who died for them, who is coming for them." So here you are. Verse 15. "If any man's work shall be burned, you got nothing to show." I say, still thank the Lord. Still, you still have to thank the Lord, because you will suffer loss, but yourself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Amazing, isn't it? So thank God for that. Now, I have chosen 5 passages of Scripture. We finished 2. Now we go to passage number 3. The third passage, which also tells us there is works reward coming for all of us. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Please turn to the book of Luke, Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 19, verse 12 to 18. All right, you have found St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Some people say, I don't want a reward. I say, please, you want to be saved, don't you? Of course. Then, today you may think, I don't want a reward. But, wake up! God's will is that everyone who is saved by His precious blood that He bled on Calvary, you be worthy of the kingdom of God by working when you can. So let us all be spiritually ambitious for the kingdom of God. Let's not be just defeatist. I don't care. I don't want to. Don't be lazy. We all must be ambitious and go out and do your best. Gold, silver, precious stones. Now here is a parable. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. Jesus told this story so that we all understand we must strive for rewards because it is His will. It is His idea for us all, His plan for us. Verse 12 says, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. Who is this nobleman? It's Jesus Himself. He is the nobleman in this story. He's going to a far country. Verse 13. He called his 10 servants and gave them each one pound. 10 pounds to 10 servants. Meaning to say, in this story, each one is given equal opportunity and equal talent. Now go and work for me. To win something, to earn something. Can you do that? This is the will of the Lord. Don't say, I don't care. You should care because the Lord who died says, look, this is the way you can repay me. Are you grateful? Let us all be very grateful. So verse 13 says, each servant got 1 pound and he left the direction says, occupy till I come. I'm a trader. I'm a businessman. I'm out for profit. Now I give you capital, 1 pound each. You say, what's the use of 1 pound? Please understand. Today we live in inflation days. It's not $1. Maybe $1 million, 1 pound, you know. Now what do you do with the money? The Lord says, occupy till I come. Keep busy. You know what to do with the money? Surely, you're my servants, I employed you. Take the $1 million, go and do business. Verse 15. It came to pass when he returned. Jesus is coming again, do you know that? And when he comes, he will take an account with each one of us. Each one of us has received the 1 pound. What are you doing with it? He commanded the servants to be called to him, each one to give an account of what each one has gained. Now this is expected of you and me. Have you received the 1 pound? Answer is yes, absolutely. No matter how stupid you are or how intelligent you are, we all are given 1 pound. Capital. Go out and trade. Your pound is your intelligence, your knowledge, your time, your life, your acquaintances, whatever you're equipped to do, go and witness for the Lord to win another pound for Him. Alright. Verse 16. The first came. Lord, you gave me 1 pound, I've made 10 pounds. Wonderful! Is that possible? I say in today's market, it's very possible. All those who enterprise and go out and trade, they will make tenfold. Possible? Yes. But you must be enterprising for the Lord. What does the Lord say? Wonderful. Listen. Verse 17. He said to this one, well done, you good servant, because you have been faithful in the little, have authority over 10 cities. Amazing. This is reward, dear friends. Don't you ever say, I don't care for reward. I don't want reward. All I want is to scrape through by the skin of my teeth into heaven. If I can get into heaven, that's it, enough. Is that God's will? Answer is no. God never has such a will for you. It's only a poor thief, the second thief on the cross. No way to serve the Lord. No way. How can he go and witness for the Lord? He's already dying. You're not the thief. You're not dying. You got health and strength, resources, talents. Go and trade for him. Verse 18. Now, are you the second servant? The second came, saying, Lord, your pound gained 5 pounds. He gave me 1 pound, now it's 5 pounds. In other words, it's now 6 pounds. Wonderful. And what did the Lord say to him? I give you 5 cities. Go and now look after 5 cities. Is that possible? I don't know whether it is in real, practical, modern day terms that when Jesus comes back and the whole world is under his control, some of us will be put in charge of 10 cities. I don't know. Possible. But whatever it is 10 times what the first trader, the first servant came back and told. Lord, your pound made 10 pounds. You get 10 times the reward. What are you, 5 pound man or 10 pound man? But don't be the 1 pound one. You listen to what the 1 pound man says. Verse 20, this fellow came and said, Lord, here's your pound. You gave it to me here, intact, back to you. I've kept it laid up in a napkin. I fear thee because you are austere man, you a calculating man. Thou takest up that thou layest down and reapest where thou didst not sow. You just want profit and profit and profit. That's what I see of you. And so I was so scared, I did nothing with your pound. I wrapped it up and buried it in the earth. Now back to you. Is there anyone who is of that mentality? Please don't. Not right. The Lord expects us. We all have talent, someone. More or less, we all have talent. Use it. Just your time. Only the time that God has given you is a commodity. You have the time, go forth and be a good witness. To whom? Your family, your children, your friends. Have you lost all your friends? Poor thing, no friends. Go and make friends. And for the Lord's sake, win some soul for him. So that on that day you can say, Lord, you gave me 1 pound. I've won 1 pound, another pound. That is at least better than nothing. The one who says, Lord, I know you have so much profit, but I didn't trust you. I didn't obey you. I think you are not a good man. Dear friends, please, let's honor the Lord. And when he is on the throne, the Bema judgment, when you arrive there, may he say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, the last passage of scripture for you is in Galatians chapter 6. A warning. We want to end this morning's meditation with a warning. A warning again lovingly given by the apostle in the book of Galatians to Christians. Galatians chapter 6. Let us all read together. Some of you, because my voice is droning, have maybe gone to sleep already. I say, wake up! Wake up, it's nearly time to go home. 12 o'clock coming on. Alright. Galatians chapter 6. We all read together. Verses 7 and 8. Alright, you ready? Galatians 6, 7, together. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall reap of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here is the final warning. Dear friends, we all understand this perfectly. Don't spend your life because the world is so good. Because life is so fast, so good today. In Singapore, you can enjoy every kind of physical, material, fleshly enjoyment. You name it, we have it here. Now you don't get caught up with that and say, well, enjoy life. When I was in medical school, 1947, we had a song, a theme song. Everybody sing, enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself. Keep on enjoying because life is so short. Keep on enjoying. I said, dear friends, please, God deliver us from that kind of mentality. Enjoy yourself. The time is so short. Means you are going the way of perdition into hell. And for any Christian to go that way is pitiful. Don't. If the time is short, they say, wake up yourself, wake up yourself. The Lord is coming, let me strive for Him. Let me sow for Him. Let me sow in gold, silver, precious stone. So that when I stand before the throne of God, at the Bema seat of Christ, give a good account to the glory of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, speak to your people by the still small voice of your Holy Spirit, that we may understand thy will for us, and in the understanding we may respond and say, Lord, here am I, take my life and make it what it ought to be, to the glory of your name. May others see something of Jesus in each of us, that we may go forth and tell others there is a Savior who saves and who is coming again. O Lord, hear my prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.